What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, psychotherapist, author, lecturer. I have another radio show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m. It's a call-in show called The Women's Healing Circle. And as you can tell, I am very passionate about providing women with truthful information so they can make the most informed decisions possible regarding their health and well-being. And this is a show where we get the opportunity to have in-depth conversations and explorations into subjects that women must know. I first of all want to remind everyone, if you have not yet had a chance to visit my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, I invite you to do so, because once you opt in, you will get several special reports. There are always new things that I am sending out. It's a great place to go for wonderful resources, free articles, interviews. You can access the archives from both of my radio shows right there on What Women Must Know. And as I always like to say, the most powerful thing for women is to get truthful information so we can make those informed decisions. So this is a place, one of those places, where you can go to get as truthful information as I can find anyway to support you on your healing journey. And we're going to be talking about your healing journey today. You know, recently on my radio shows, I've had two very insightful conversations, one with best-selling author Joan Borisenko, and we talked about her book called Fried, and it was addressing stress issues. And then the other show that I found to be so informative and enlightening was with another best-selling author who... her name is Marcel Pick, and she wrote the book, Are You Tired and Wired? And both these shows were discussing, and the message of these two very profound authors and practitioners was really looking at how we get so exhausted and get so stressed and the consequences of stress in our lives. And as we got into those conversations, we got a little deeper. I like to call it getting at the root cause behind the symptoms, behind the conditions, behind the issues. And we were talking about the issues within us, particularly as women, although it's not always an issue, a woman's issue by any means, but for the context of our conversations, the issues within us as women that drive us to becoming stressed, that drive us to become dissatisfied, unhappy with ourselves, and generates all the other behaviors that lead to ongoing physical stress in our bodies. So, as we continue this conversation, we are going to be talking to a most profound guest today. She also happens to be a number one New York Times best-selling author. I'm talking about Marcy Shymoff. And she is also a world-renowned transformation teacher. And as an expert on happiness, success, and unconditional love, Marcy has inspired literally millions of people around the globe, sharing her breakthrough methods for personal fulfillment and professional success. She has recently released her newest book, her newest best-selling book, I may add, called Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love. And in this book, Marcy introduces a revolutionary program to live in a deep and lasting state of love. And she shows us how to access that state at any time, in any circumstance. This is really the key to not only addressing the consequences of stress, but getting right to the heart of the matter. And I want to add, in relationship to appreciating Marcy's contribution, she is also the best-selling author of Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out. And she has another phenomenally successful book that you may have heard of as well called Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. And by the way, her books have sold more than 14 million copies worldwide in 33 languages. And she also has been featured in the best-selling movie called The Secret. So this is a real delight to have Marcy here with us, sharing with all of us some of the secrets to truly heal at the deepest level possible. So, Marcy, welcome to the show, and it is a great pleasure having you with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm honored and delighted to get to be with you and the other two women you've mentioned, Joan Borisenko and Marcel Pick, are wonderful colleagues. I think their work is terrific, and so I'm grateful to be in their company in this show, and to have been following them in this show. So,
you know, because the theme we're going to be talking about, and having read your book, which I find really inspiring, is putting these key pieces together that really provide us, as I see it anyway on my journey, the keys to finding the joy, the love, the happiness, the health, and meaning and fulfillment in our life. Like, these are the jewels that we're really looking for, because most of us get so confused and distracted and operating out of a lot of limiting or negative programming. We are desperately seeking our sense of inner well-being and peace, and yet feel so lost as to how to get onto that journey, onto that track. And that's what you obviously have taken on as your mission in this lifetime, and do a phenomenal job, because, you know, it's a challenge to take these concepts and make them fresh and new, mm-hmm. and also make them express them in a way that we can practically utilize them. So I just really want to thank you for your wonderful contribution in this journey of finding our healing, our deep, deep, deep healing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I have to be honest in that ultimately why I wrote both Happy for No Reason and Love for No Reason was selfish. I wanted to learn those things. I think that you're absolutely right. We live in a time, in a culture where we are very stressed, we are very overwhelmed, and where we have in a great degree lost our sense of center, which is the source of our happiness and all of that. And it, ultimately, I believe why we're on the planet is to experience greater love and greater happiness. It's kind of our job description here on Earth. And yet, most people are not experiencing that, and I was one of those people. And I had everything that I thought that I wanted in life in order to be happy. I had, as a young girl, created 5 main goals for myself. I thought, oh, if I get these 5 things, then I'll be happy. You know, I thought, and I'll just share with you what they are, because I think a lot of women can relate to these. I thought, if I have a great career where I'm helping people and it's fulfilling, I need a great relationship, a wonderful husband, friends, a nice, comfortable home, and the equivalent of Halle Berry's body. If I have those 5 things, then I'll be really happy. And I got 4 of the 5. I don't have Halle Berry's body. but I realized at the height of having everything that something was still missing. And I think that a lot of women can relate to that. Maybe they haven't achieved all of their goals, but some of their goals, and still something is missing. And that fundamental something is that connection to our inner core of happiness and of love. And I found that when people are able to raise their, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, in the show, raise their happiness set point and their love set point, that then everything else in their life changes. They become healthier. I mean, people who are happier are one-third less likely to get sick, and they live on average 9 years longer. So these are fundamental keys to greater health, and I'm really appreciative that your approach to health is such a holistic approach, because certainly without the emotional and spiritual aspects of feeling fulfilled, we have a much harder time being physically healthy.
Oh, well, I think it's impossible, and, you know, I say that out of my own personal experience because, you know, like you, we've all been on this journey, and we've been striving for our goals and to attaining them to some degree or other, but unless we find really what your book is addressing, unless we can reclaim that core essence within us, that core energy, which is, you know, I guess the best way I can express it right now. But
yeah, it's our life force. It's our connection to our inner soul and our self.
That's right. Unless we find our way back, we can never really experience the sense of joy or that love, that unconditional love. You know, you said something, and it's in your book as well, that an estimated 90% of all disease is stress-related. And the other statistic that is really very profound is that one in five women in America is on an antidepressant drug. Now, that terrifies me because I know the consequences of antidepressant drugs, and it doesn't make you happy. It can make you insane. It can make you crazier.
Yeah, and it's also our approach to, you know, the magic bullet. Let me just take a pill and all will be well, rather than looking at what is the source of the depression. And, you know, sometimes it's can be helped through diet or through various amino acids, and sometimes it can be helped through changing your thought patterns, through physical exercise, through all of these other means that actually really will make a person deeply happy rather than just get them to a stage that where they're okay but medicated.
Right, and, you know, I've gone through those times in my life when I've been really depressed. I've gone through long periods of time when I've been really depressed, and those are very painful times. And
they are.
I'm happy to say I've arrived at a place in my life through my life learnings, and by addressing, as you were saying, that holistic approach, the physical, having to make the physical changes, addressing emotional issues, healing our limiting thoughts, and then finding a spiritual path that works for me. But as I addressed all of those, and not necessarily all at the same time, but it really has been a profound journey of reclaiming that connection and waking up more times than not. In fact, waking up most mornings really, really grateful and joyful, and with that expectancy of a great day and how we can have miracles happen. But that's, you know, we've had our long, painful path to get to those learnings, and that's what the life journey is, I guess, is to help us arrive there.
It is, and when I have felt the same thing. I mean, I would say that I suffered most of my life from low-grade depression, and if you were grading me back as a teenager in my 20s, I'd give myself a D-plus in happiness, and I'd say now I get an A-minus, and it's because I've done many of these practices. But one thing that I've really discovered is it doesn't have to be hard and long. I believe there are shortcuts. And the shortcuts, and these days everybody wants shortcuts. I believe there are tools and techniques out there now that are very, very effective in helping people with changing their old patterns. You know, when I did the research on happiness, I interviewed for Happy for No Reason, I interviewed 100 unconditionally happy people. And I found that the only difference between them and everyone else is that they have different habits. And I was able to identify 21 main habits that happy people have. And they're things that each of us can practice. And then the same with love. When I did Love for No Reason, when I was working on that book, I interviewed 150 love luminaries. And I found there are 14 main keys to opening us up to a greater state of love. And so these are not difficult things. And what I tell people to do is I tell people to take a look, and I have assessments in both of those both of those books. Where are you now? Where is your weakest area? You know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. And then start there and make one change over the next few weeks in that area. And I give specific, you know, things that you can change. And I'm sure we're going to get to talk about some of this prescriptive things that I found that are helpful. And I've had people come back to me and say within 2 weeks, 2 weeks to a month, that their lives are completely turning around. And so I want to encourage people that there is, I believe, really great tech tools these days, and I don't know what else to call them, but processes, techniques that are very effective at helping people make changes.
And that's really the, I think, the inspirational part of your message, that there are tools these days. And if you're listening to the show, you probably are here for a purpose and ready to hear these tools, because it's coming into your life in this manner. And it can allow us to make amazing shifts. And it doesn't have to be long and arduous, as you were saying. I agree. And in fact, one of the gifts of being here at this moment in time is that there are some fantastic tools. And I definitely want you to share some of those key tools. You know, before we go into that, as I was reading your book in the very beginning, you talked about how you set out to begin this project and to search for those ways to create love for no reason. And then some interesting events started to happen in your life. And maybe we can start there, Marcy, and then we can get into what you discovered, because it's like every woman's story.
Yes. Well, there's a saying amongst authors, beware what you're writing about, because you will certainly be tested in it. So here I am. I pick the subject of unconditional love. You know, I want to know, what is it that causes people to really experience love in their lives no matter what? So sure enough, no sooner had I signed the contract on love for no reason than my husband and I decided to get divorced. And this was a quick on-the-job training. Could I experience love even in the midst of divorce? And it was a loving divorce, so that was very fortunate, and he's my dear best friend and all of that. But still, it was a challenge. And then over the next 6 months, as I was working on love for no reason, I had three dear friends pass away. And then we sold our family home of 58 years that I had been quite attached to. Of course, I didn't live there anymore, but I still had the same bedroom that I had in the sixth grade. And then, quite unexpectedly, my 88-year-old mother passed away. Mm. And so I went through all of these situations that I would have thought would have really sucked me dry of the love, that would have really put me in a fairly challenged situation. And I practiced everything that I had been learning from these love luminaries that I interviewed. And definitely I felt grief and sadness. But amidst that, I felt a deep inner state of love, which is, I call love for no reason, is a deep inner state of love that doesn't depend on your circumstances. And so I got a crash course in this, and it really did work. And so even when you are experiencing grief or sadness or changes in your life situation or difficult circumstances, you can still be in touch with this core of love inside that helps you make it through those things so much more easily. And I know everyone listening right now is challenged by something. You may be challenged by finances right now. People have lost their jobs. They're having hard times financially. You may be challenged in your relationships. You may be going through a divorce or a difficult time. You may be challenged in your health. Everyone I know has challenges, and I believe that the one thing that will most heal and change everything is learning to access this inner state of love, because it really is the salve for everything in life.
Yes, and that's really, and so the purpose of the book is to give those tools so people can have practical strategies to start.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, let me just share one piece that I think is really important to understand, and that is that we all have something called a love set point, just like we have a happiness set point. And what that set point means is, the researchers on happiness have found that it doesn't matter what happens to us, whether good or bad, we will always return to our original happiness set point. So, for example, unless we do something consciously to change that. So, for example, people who win the lottery, within a year, they have returned to their original happiness set point. Same is true of people who've become paraplegic. Within a year, they've also returned to their original happiness set point. So this tells us that it's not what happens to us. It's not our circumstances that affect our happiness level. It's our internal set point. And the same is true of love. We can only love to the extent that our set point is set for love. It's like our glass ceiling or our upper limit to experiencing love. So if you want to experience more love in your life, you've got to raise your love set point. And that's what these tools and techniques do. They move us from what is called the stress response. And I know you, I believe, Cheryl, have talked a lot about that, I imagine, on these last shows you've done. It moves us from the stress response into what Eva Selhub calls the love response, which is an entirely different physiological state that has different brain patterns, different heart rhythms, different biochemistry. So what we're talking about is getting more and more into the love response so that it becomes our default state. And I want to make sure that people know that this isn't some airy-fairy thing. It's not some idealistic vision of something, but it's a real physiological state. So I'm wondering, Cheryl, could I walk people through a two-minute exercise that puts them into the love response?
Absolutely, and I just want to say it's like rewiring ourselves, isn't it? I mean, what you're talking about, this new set point, is a rewire, so we respond differently and our energies are different than if we have the old response.
That's exactly right. It's you're rewiring your brain chemistry. You're rewiring the neural pathways in your brain. You're retraining your heart to go into what's called heart rhythm coherence, which is something that I've worked a lot with a group called the Institute of Heart Math, mm-hmm. and they're the world's leading researchers on love and the heart and how it affects our well-being. And they have found that when we're angry, we go into what's called heart rhythm incoherence, where our heart rhythms are beating very erratically. It's very erratic. You can see it on a computer screen. Mm-hmm. When we are feeling love and care and compassion, we go into heart rhythm coherence. And what they've also found is that 5 minutes of anger will suppress your immune system for up to 6 hours, whereas 5 minutes of being in this love response will strengthen your immune system for up to 6 hours. So it has very long-lasting effects. So let's do an exercise that puts us into the love response. How's that?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Good, good. And this exercise came from the Institute of Heart Math. I learned it from them. It's called the Inner Ease Technique. And I ask you to do this along with me, unless you're driving. And if you're driving, you want to wait till you get to your destination to join in. But for the rest of you listening, please do this. You can do this with eyes opened or closed. It doesn't matter. I prefer it with my eyes closed. So I'd like you to just sit comfortably. And the first step, it's just 3 steps. The first step is to put your hand over your heart center in the middle of your chest. Just put the palm of your hand over the middle of your chest in your heart area. That very simple act starts the release of a hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is dubbed the love hormone because it's what we feel when we feel bonded and connected with others. Oxytocin is what mothers have at childbirth or when they're breastfeeding. We experience oxytocin when we're making love. But just putting your hand over your heart starts the release of oxytocin. Now the second step is I want you to imagine that you're breathing in and out through your heart. So just picture or feel that your breath is coming in and out through the center of your chest, through right where your hand is, that you're inhaling and you're exhaling through that heart center. And you can just picture that or feel that. And then finally, the third step is on each inhale, I want you to imagine that you're breathing in through your heart, but you're breathing in ease and love and compassion. And you can just exhale normally, but on each inhale, breathe in through the center of your heart and picture yourself breathing in love, breathing in compassion, breathing in ease and care. And then again, just exhale normally and inhale love, inhale ease and compassion, and exhale normally
And one last time, breathe in love. And as you exhale, you can open up your eyes if they were closed and take away your hand. And that was under 2 minutes. And Cheryl, I just want to get a sense for you. How do you feel now as compared to 2 minutes ago?
Oh, it's so calming and centering.
Yes.
It just brings you back to that present moment.
Right. And what different people will experience it differently. A lot of people, of course, report feeling centered and peaceful and calm. Some people will feel a warmth in their heart area. Some people will actually feel almost a flowing, fluid energy in their heart, like water in their heart. And it doesn't matter what your experience is in this moment, but what matters is that you do this. And one time doesn't make a difference, but if you do this 4 or 5 times a day for the next 2 weeks, you will be habituating the love response. And that's all it takes, is a couple minutes, 4 or 5 times a day, consistently, and you'll be creating new neural pathways and new heart rhythms so that it becomes your default state. And, you know, I tell people this doesn't take any extra time in your life, because you can do this when you are standing in the grocery store, waiting in line. You can do this when you're sitting in a business meeting and you're bored or frustrated. You can do this when you're sitting on the phone with people. They don't have to know that you're doing it. And what happens is, I've been on about 100 interviews in the last couple months with Love for No Reason, and now all I have to do is put my hand up to my heart, and immediately the entire response starts, and I feel this warmth over my whole body, and it's really quite blissful. So that's one thing that you can do that doesn't take cost money, that doesn't add more time to your schedule, that really helps put you into this love response.
You know, that's such a wonderful technique, because, you know, it's simple, it's easy to do. In learning, and I've been really fascinated by brain neuroplasticity. I've been,
yes.
You know, reading and had people on the show. And one of the things they say that I think is really pertinent here, and I just want to share it, is that the bias of the brain is to never forget negative things. That's the bias of the brain, especially women's brains.
Yes.
And new learning is much more fragile. So the reason why I wanted to share that is what you were saying, this simple little 2 minute or less exercise, if we commit to it on a regular basis, we just practice it, even if we decide every morning we're going to start there or end every night, if we just do it, I mean, to create these new positive learnings, which are much more fragile in the sense that we need to strengthen them in our neurology, because our neurology, the way our brain fires, is most common, is that the pattern is to go back to the negative ways, can reestablish, I would imagine in your languaging, Marcy, it would help establish that new love set point. But we've got to do it, and we've got to imagine, you know, by doing it, we're strengthening those new connections in our brain. So it becomes an automatic thing, like you said. Now you do it, and you immediately get that release of oxytocin and
all
wonderful feelings.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, because that tendency that it's deemed, called the negativity bias, that actually one of the researchers I interviewed, a wonderful man named Rick Hansen, calls it the Velcro Teflon syndrome. And I love this imaging. He said our minds are like Velcro for the negative. They just stick to us, whereas they're like Teflon for the positive. The positives just slide off of us. And, you know, we all know that. If you get 10 compliments in a day and one criticism, what do you remember at the end of the day? You remember the criticism. Most people remember the criticism. It's because of this negativity bias. And so what we found is that people who are experiencing greater love, greater happiness, have reversed this. They have made their minds more like Teflon for the negatives and more like Velcro for the positives. And to do that, they've used specific tools. So there are certain tools that are really great for helping release the negatives. Then there are other practices that are really great for helping anchor in the positives. Researchers have said that it takes 20 seconds for us to register a positive. It doesn't take anywhere near that long for us to register a negative. So that means we actually have to pay attention. We have to almost, a wonderful word that I love with it is savor the positives. And this is why they found that things like keeping a gratitude journal, where at the end of your day you write down five things from the day that you were grateful for, why that has an impact is that it's causing you, it's forcing you to savor or get that 20-second period where you're cementing in the positive rather than just dismissing it. Or often I find with women, if women get compliments, what do? They dismiss them. They minimize them. You know, I really like that outfit. And then you say, oh, this old thing. You know, instead of saying thanks, I feel happy when I wear this color or whatever it is. You know, if somebody says to you, oh, you did a great job on that, instead of saying, oh, it was nothing, when in fact you know you worked really hard on it, by acknowledging it, by saying thank you, you know, I really did work hard on this project and I was happy with how it turned out. Those are the kinds of things we need to learn how to do in order to reprogram these old neural pathways.
And, you know, I think this is a good place for us to just take a break. But I wanted to say what I've learned, and I think the message you're really giving to everyone listening is we all have the inbuilt capacity to be happy, to be in that place of looking through the eyes of love. And it does take practice. We have to have a discipline and do something that's going to let us install those new perceptions on a daily basis. And if we are willing to do that, if we like go to the gym and work out, we have that discipline. If we do our little spiritual disciplines, simple little thing like putting your hand on your heart and breathing in that love and gratitude and ease, we are actually finding the strategies to shift our energy, our frequency, our ability to perceive life in a new way that brings us much more peace and grace and love in the world.
I agree. You like I second that.
So why don't we, on that note, just break here. We'll be right back. Don't go away because you don't want to miss what Marcy Shymoff is going to be sharing with us. Some of her key steps to creating a life of unconditional love from the work she's done in her new book, Love for No Reason. Hang in there. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We'll be right back.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Do you want to listen to your favorite PRN show in your car or when you're out for a jog? You can download any show on the archives at any time. Visit the archives at progressiveradionetwork.com/archives. We can also be found in the iTunes store under Progressive Radio Network. All our archives are free, so go ahead and check them out. Thanks for listening to the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned to stay informed.
This is a state of emergency. No, it's not. It's more of a state of urgency. I'm Danny Schechter. I'm your news dissector. I'm on the radio Fridays at 1 p.m. right here on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, offering a different narrative to the news, challenging what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're reading, offering another way of understanding what's going on. Join me online on MediaChannel.org and join me here on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com Fridays at 1 p.m. Be there or be square.
Houston, we have a problem.
Hi, I'm Christiane Brown. In today's 24-hour news cycle, most people get about a minute of real truth. Not on the Solution Zone. Every week, I bring in America's best-known activists, bloggers, authors, and politicians to uncover the hidden issues that help separate the truth from the spin.
The Solution Zone with Christiane Brown, every Wednesday at 3 on Progressive Radio Network.
One, two, yeah.
everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one form that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
You're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
Everyone, welcome back. You're listening to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and today we are so fortunate to have New York Times bestselling author Marcy Shymoff, and we're talking about Love for No Reason, her latest bestselling book, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love. And Marcy, where would you like to go from here? We have so much to talk about. What would you like?
I would love to share a story from one of the love luminaries that I interviewed, because I think it's very revealing, and I think it's a very relevant story for women about self-love.
Okay, let's do it.
Because, self-love is sort of the starting place for everything. And this is a story about a woman named Sally Salves, and Sally relayed this to me, that the week before her 50th birthday, she was rushed to the hospital because she was violently ill. The doctors examined her and told her that her liver was failing and that she would need a liver transplant, and it was so bad that she would probably need it in the next few days or she would die. Well, miraculously, on the third day, they found her a liver, did the surgery. Doctors told her that her liver looked like a cat had chewed it. It was so bad. Hmm. But her body did well with the transplant, and all was well for about a year, until she went back to the doctor for a routine exam, and he told her that the second liver was also failing, and in the next few months she would probably need another liver transplant. And Sally was shocked. She had no idea why this was happening. She had no family history of liver disease. She didn't drink. It was a mystery to her. But that very same doctor's visit, she was in the waiting room sitting next to a woman who had just had her third liver transplant in 3 years. And the woman was the most angry, negative, critical, judgmental woman that Sally had ever met. She just wanted to be as far away from her as possible. And it reminded Sally that in Chinese medicine, each organ is associated with an emotion, and the liver is associated with anger. So it prompted Sally to start looking at her own life and thinking, where was she angry? And she realized that she didn't express a lot of anger towards other people, but she carried a lot of anger towards herself. She was very critical of herself, that she had grown up with a judgmental family, and she was always feeling that she wasn't good enough. She was always beating herself up and judging herself. And she decided at that moment that she was going to commit herself to a daily practice of self-love. 10 minutes a day, no matter what, she was going to practice self-love and releasing this anger and judgment she had towards herself. That's what she did every day for the next few months. She went back to the doctor for an exam to get ready for the transplant surgery, and the doctor looked at her and said, I have no idea what happened. Your liver is completely healed. You don't need the transplant surgery. This is a medical miracle. Now, that was 18 years ago, and Sally has never needed that transplant. She is one of the most healthy, vibrant, vital, and love-filled people I've met. And she said that she was actually very thankful that that happened, because it taught her that she needed, that her life depended on loving herself.
You know, that's such a powerful story that illustrates this profound truth that our thoughts directly impact our body. And, you know, we sometimes don't get it. It's hard to always see that connection. But to get that kind of story reminds us that every thought is having an impact, just like every bite of food is having an impact. But every thought, whether we're conscious of it or not,
It's creating results in our body and showing up in our life, and we need to pay attention.
Well, and the way I find useful to look at it, and is sort of a paradigm for looking at all of life, is that everything in the universe is energy. And we know that. Science has shown that everything in the universe is energy. And, of course, the food we eat is energy. And some foods are just energy dead, and some foods are energy alive. And the more energy alive you eat, the better you feel. You know, it's in Sanskrit, it's called prana, or life force. Same with our thoughts and our feelings. They all have a different energetic vibration. And love is the highest energetic vibration on the planet. And it's, I believe, truly the purpose of our life to expand in our capacity to experience that love, the love that is really our essence. And all we're about, all our job is to remove the blocks to experiencing more of that love. Now, the interesting thing with women particularly, I believe, is that we've been trained to think about everybody else and to give love to everybody else, but to not give love to ourselves and not take care of ourselves. And I believe that's one of the most damaging things that we've all been taught. And so one very simple exercise that I suggest that people do is three times a day, you stop and you ask this question. What is the most loving thing that I can do for myself right now? Now, sometimes the answer is going to be, I can go get a glass of water, or I can go outside and get some fresh air. Sometimes the answer is more internal. So, for example, right now I can't take the time to go out and get some fresh air or get some water right in this moment. But what I can do is I can notice that most of the time oftentimes I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I should have told that story better, or here's what I could have done, or I did that wrong. But instead I can shift into acknowledging and appreciating myself for doing the best I can right now and really sincerely having a desire to help people who are listening. So sometimes it's an internal thing that you can do. Sometimes it's something you can do externally. But the process of stopping three times a day and asking that question and then following the answer starts shifting you so that you realize how important it is to take care of yourself. It's a way of honoring yourself in a very simple way, but that really makes a difference.
And, you know, again, a simple little tool, but it helps to shift us back, because the real goal of what I hear you teaching people is to find that connection within. So your title says it all, love for no reason. You don't have to have someone that you're in love with to feel love. You don't have to, you know, be doing things, accomplishing things to feel love. It's that we are here. Our journey is to connect to a place where we are always in touch with that place of unconditional love, and it doesn't require a reason.
Or because if you have a really free,
it gets taken away.
If our love is dependent on a particular person or situation, or the person has to act a particular way for us to feel okay, then we're just hostage to that situation. That's not freedom. The people who are truly the happiest and freest in life are those who are connected to that inner state of love, which is what we all are. That's the essence of what we all are. It's just some people are more connected to that, and the people that are more connected to that, you love to be around them because they have a natural openness to life. Whatever happens, they're okay with. They have a peace about them that says all is well in the universe. You know, I was blown away when I would interview these people, person after person that was living that way, and I go, wow, that is just so amazing. And I can really say that they just lived slightly differently than most other people, and that's what we can all do. We can live in the slight, it's fine-tuning the way we live our lives.
Right. Right. Do you feel that what you've learned from this book has helped you to make that shift, so you are, you know, loving more and more for no reason?
Enormously. Enormously. And I mean, I couldn't have imagined that I would have been through the challenges of this last few years with all the deaths around me, my mother dying and my divorce and all of that. I couldn't have imagined that I would come through this in the way that I have, but I feel
so much more open to life. I feel like my heart feels open. It's a difference between feeling contracted and feeling expanded. And it doesn't mean that my life goes perfectly, but it means that I'm feeling this inner love even in the midst of whatever's going on. And I certainly haven't mastered this completely, but I've gone a long way, and that's how I know that this stuff really works. And I've heard it from people. I get letters and emails and calls from people all over the world, just, you know, often in tears, saying, "My God, this is just really helping so amazingly well." And I want to make sure that we share a couple more techniques with people, because I want you to start. Ideally, what I'd like you to do is listen to, you know, what you've heard on this so far, and pick something, anything, to try it out in your life for the next 2 weeks as an experiment, and just see if your life shifts. So use your own life as the testing grounds. Don't take our word for it here. So we've talked, I know we did the little inner ease technique. We talked about just the simple question of, what's the most loving thing I can do for myself right now? Can I share another
fabulous
process?
Oh, please do. Oh, absolutely, yes.
So this process has to do with forgiveness. And I believe forgiveness is the fast track to experiencing greater love. Actually, there are two fast tracks. One is gratitude, and we also talked about that, keeping a gratitude journal or you know, just at least every day, at the end of the day, focusing on what you're grateful for. But the other fast track to greater love is forgiveness. When we're holding resentment, when we're hanging on to anger, nothing changes. We cannot experience greater love. When we let go, when we forgive, and forgiving doesn't mean condoning. It doesn't mean you agree with what happened. It just means you've let it go. And that creates, moves mountains. And the technique that I love of forgiveness is called Ho'oponopono. And the good news is that it's a lot easier to do than it is to say. Ho'oponopono is based on a Kahuna Hawaiian tradition of forgiveness or mending. And it involves four simple phrases. And if you, I'd like you to get a pen and paper and write down these four phrases. They are, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you." I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And what you do is, with those four phrases, is whatever you're holding some resentment towards or lack of forgiveness towards, you silently in your heart send those four wishes to that person or situation. You don't have to say them out loud. Spend 5 or 10 minutes just sitting with that in your heart, and my guess is you'll experience some shifts. I will share with you a story of how I used that in my own life. A couple of years ago, my sister and I got in an argument, and we weren't talking to each other. Now, this had never happened in our family before, and it was very uncomfortable. But I was firm in my way. She was angry at me for something, and I didn't think I deserved her anger, and I didn't think I deserved this, and I thought she was wrong, and I wasn't going to give in. Well, about 3 months into this, our family had to gather to move our mom to assisted living from this family home that we'd been in all these years. And we gathered the morning of the move at her new apartment to unpack her. And when I came in, everybody else was already there, and I greeted everybody except my sister. Didn't even say hello to her, didn't hug her, nothing. We avoided each other all morning. For 3 hours, we unpacked this little tiny apartment, and we'd walk around, each of us, to the other side of the room to avoid making eye contact. Well, after a full morning of this, I was so uncomfortable that I decided to take a break and go to my car. And on the way to the car, I remembered Ho'oponopono. And I thought, oh, great, I'll sit in my car and I'll just send her that forgiveness towards her and towards myself both, because I was angry at myself as well for this whole situation. So I sat for 10 minutes. May you be safe. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I just felt that wish towards her. And then I did it a little bit towards myself, and I felt my heart melting open. And so I went back into the apartment, and I didn't say anything, but about 3 or 4 minutes later, out of the blue, my sister comes over to me and takes me by the hand and says, "Come on, Marcy, let's just go into Mom's closet and unpack that closet together."
That's what we did. You know, the whole, at lunchtime, she gave me her baked potato, said, here, I know you like these more than I do. And I pulled my brother aside. I said, what happened? What did you say to her while I was gone? And he said, I didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. We have no idea what happened. Well, that was the beginning of a total shift in our relationship. And I'm so grateful for that because 9 months later, my sister and I found ourselves standing in that same closet of my mother's, this time packing her clothes because she had just passed away. And I can't imagine what those 9 months would have been like had we held on to that anger.
And that's inspirational because sometimes we just don't know how to change things. And what you're sharing with us from that technique, you don't have to know how to make it right. You just have to do a simple little, you know, process from the intention of making it
right. Yes. And, you know, I'm so inspired to read stories like Nelson Mandela, where he was imprisoned for 27 years, and his prison guards would beat him and mistreat him, and yet he knew his only way to survive was through forgiveness and compassion. Mm-hmm. And so he would, in his heart, practice forgiveness and compassion towards his prison guards. And they had to change the prison guards out very regularly because the guards could no longer beat him. They just they felt so much love for him. And in fact, I understand at his inauguration that sitting in the front row was one of his old prison guards who was now working for him as his security. And so even in the most extreme situations, people can feel compassion and forgiveness. And so I think that that's probably more extreme than most of us have to experience. And I invite you to practice some forgiveness towards someone in your life today.
So why don't you just repeat those phrases, the Ho'oponopono phrases?
Yeah. They are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And notice that you're saying, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter who is the wrongdoer, you know, whether you think the other person was wrong or not. There's something within you that perhaps precipitated that situation. Or it doesn't matter. Just your feeling sorry for the situation even helps.
Right. In the time that we have left, is there one more little tip you can share with us from the book, Marcy?
Well, you know, what I've found is that different people need to start at different places, that we each have a different thing that is causing our biggest problem right now. And so that's why I so encourage people to take this assessment. And by the way, you can take the self-assessment I have on my website, which is thelovebook.com. Very simple, thelovebook.com, www.thelovebook.com. I have 12 free gifts on there, and one of them is a workbook that includes all 14 of the exercises that I talk about in Love for No Reason. And it also includes this self-assessment, so you can see where is your weak area, where is your strong area, and where do you need to start. So I really encourage people to get that assessment and take that. And there's also on there a audio recording with a guy named Nick Ortner, who's one of the masters of the emotional freedom technique, or EFT. It's also called tapping. And he walks you through how to tap on these various acupressure meridians in order to reprogram yourself for self-love. So if self-love is your thing, and I think it's many people's things where they need to start, there's this beautiful process that shows you how to use EFT or tapping for self-love. So those are that's where I would encourage people. And you know, do we have just a moment left where I can share my philosophy on all of this?
Yep. We do. We have
a moment left. Most women say to me, many women say, is this selfish to want to experience greater love for myself? And I think it's the least selfish thing that you could possibly do, because when you shift yourself, your family changes, your community changes, and ultimately it's what changes our world. So I always like to share this Chinese proverb that I think sums up the purpose of what I'm doing and why we're all listening today. And it goes like this. It says, when there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in our world.
And so my prayer and my wish for each of us is that we feel that light and love in our own hearts and souls. And through that, we help contribute to a better world.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And Marcy, we've come to the end of the program, but I just want to thank you so much for providing a path, providing some practical steps that people can take to begin that journey or continue the journey that can quickly get them back to that place of connecting again to the truth of their being, which is that place of love within each of us. So thank you again for your time and for your wisdom, and just wishing you the greatest success from now on.
Thank you. Well, I'm so grateful to you and for everyone listening who was called to this conversation of love. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and all the best.
Mm-hmm. To you as well.
Bye. Well, what a wonderful conversation, and I just thank all of you for joining us on this show, What Women Must Know. And I want to remind you all how I like to complete all of these inspiring shows with this thought, and that is, always remember to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. That is the place where love resides. So until next time, have a wonderful week honoring the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.